I'm Antonia, and welcome to Mommy Matters Wind Down Podcast. I believe as mothers, we shouldn't let motherhood stop us from pursuing our dreams, being true to ourselves, and living our best lives. Our journey through motherhood shouldn't be one we're judged on, but instead celebrated and supported. Join me as we wind down and talk about our journeys.
Cases of sexual abuse are in the news every day. We cannot ignore the pain and trauma victims of this crime endure. Here to tell her story of survival is Grace. Please note, this episode may contain sensitive conversation and is in no way intended to be a trigger. Those experiencing trauma from sexual assault can call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673.
All right. So can you tell us, or tell our listeners as well, a little about yourself?
Okay. That question is always so loaded.
Right?
Which things do I tell about myself? But for the purposes of this, I'm Grace. I am an author and motivational speaker, as well as a life coach. As a profession, I am a therapist. So that is what I do as a profession. But I also teach fitness classes. I'm a wife and a mother. So I have a whole lot of hats, and I just try to make sure I'm wearing them pretty well.
Yes.
That's me in a nutshell, I guess we'll say.
Yes. I feel like when every time I'm asked that same question as well, I'm like, what do I say? And like, how do I fit this into like 10 seconds? Like, there's no way. So, being that, you know, we are talking about our topic today as far as being a sexual abuse survivor, could you take us back to when your abuse started?
I think the unfortunate thing with the abuse is it started so early for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it started even earlier than I even remember.
Wow.
But when I remember, I was about between 4 and 5 years old. So before that, is no telling what could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it clearly starting around that time because it became more often, and the perpetrator began to tell me not to tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it became a big secret.
Yeah. And you were 4 when this was happening?
Somewhere between 4 and 5.
Wow. Yeah. So, like, I don't, to be honest, and I feel like even with children that young, like, they aren't really fully comprehending what is even happening.
Correct.
When, I guess, was this someone that you knew?
It was. Okay. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
He was a friend of the family.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a single mother, so she was out working a lot. My older brothers were tasked with supervising me, and we all know how that goes.
Right.
So they didn't want their younger sister there, so it was supervision of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to their friends, I guess they didn't see a reason mm-hmm. to keep more of me out because it was a trusted friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not someone, not a stranger, not anyone that they should have been concerned about. But I guess that's what left the door open.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, being that this was like your brother's friends or family friend, how much older was he?
He was than me or than my brother?
Than you.
He was a teenager.
Wow.
So I'm trying to think back how old they were. I'm always messing up their ages, but he was a teenager. That much I know.
Yeah. So, as I guess when the abuse was happening, or, you know, he's telling you not to say much or to say anything at all to anyone, did you ever open up to someone about it?
I did not.
Okay.
It was almost like that was our little game.
Mm.
I guess, you know, it would happen, like, don't tell anybody, this is our secret, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't necessarily feel threatened, you know, as a kid, I didn't feel, you know, that anything was really a big problem, per se. And it wasn't horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just wasn't something I thought enough to speak of and say, Mom, you know, this person is doing this to me.
Right. So was there ever a moment where things did come to light of what he was doing?
Yes. There was a night where I'm guessing he was going to stay over, you know, random night. And I remember him coming into my room. And so this is nighttime. Everybody sleep or getting ready for bed. He came into my room, and I remember him getting on top of me. And, you know, he started to unclothe, and I remember screaming.
Hmm.
Like, that was the time when it came to light, like, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And it's not even, like, because I was so young, I didn't really comprehend what was wrong.
Right.
But I knew I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember screaming, and then, of course, the whole family rushed into the room, and that's when it came to light what had been going on.
Wow. So at any time after, you know, this incident happened, as far as them finding out, did, like, was the trust between you and your brother, like, was there ever a point where you felt like it was your fault, or that trust between your brother and yourself was either broken or, yeah, does that make sense?
It does. Okay. For a time, I did feel that, and this is not so much when I was like 4 and 5, but as I got older,
mm-hmm.
I almost felt as if there was something I did that made him want to do that to me.
Wow.
So I more so took on the blame as if I did something wrong, mm-hmm. as opposed to being something that he did wrong.
Yeah. I guess because you said as you got older, so this kept on happening, right?
Yes, okay. It happened. But I think that this initial thing, it permeated through my years.
Mm.
So even though I was molested several times, even after that, even when I went into foster care, the initial thing is what really started the cycle. You know, of me not really trusting people, of me just being almost ashamed of my own body. You know, like I was doing something wrong, mm-hmm. to entice people.
Mm.
You know, and it just started a cycle, and a hurtful cycle. You know, and even when I got attention, it was, and this is especially when I got older, why are you showing me attention? Like, are you trying to get something from me? Are you trying to do something to me? And so I had a really hard time in relationships, and even when I got married, it was still, do you really love me for me, or is it my body?
Wow.
You know, but it permeated for a long time.
Most definitely. So as you got older, and you said I guess it kept happening as far as being molested, this was also during your time in foster care?
Yes.
Okay. And during that time, were you able to open up to talk to someone else about it, or at least try?
I did not open up about it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I blamed myself for a long time for just not saying anything. But I did not open up until my last foster home. I was preparing to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember exactly how it happened. It's a lot of little fuzzy things in there. But I know I mentioned it to my foster mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in no uncertain terms, pretty much told me I was lying.
Wow.
That it wasn't something that happened. It was attention that I was trying to get. So at that point, that was a shutdown.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll tell you this thing, and you automatically don't believe me.
Yeah. Do you feel as though it was still that thing where they felt you needed that attention, or you were looking for that attention, as to why she didn't believe you?
She and I had a complicated relationship. I had a lot of issues growing up. A lot of acting out things, just a lot from my history because of foster care, because of the abuse, different things. So there were things that I had done just kind of acting out and rebellious. But I had never come to her with this magnitude of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it was her not wanting to believe what happened because it was one of her family members, or if it was her just saying whatever, she's trying to get attention. But the fact that she just flat out said, you know, you're lying, it didn't happen, that was it. Like, that was the last straw.
Yeah. So tell me, because obviously, it took a toll on you from, you know, your early childhood to then throughout your teenage years. What did you do, or how did you try to shift your focus, or what did you focus on during these times when, you know, no one not trusted you, but no one was believing what you were telling them?
Well, I will say, and this is something I know I haven't mentioned a lot, but one thing that I turned to initially was God, to be honest.
Yes.
And not so much, because at that point I didn't know a whole lot about God and religion, but I remember hearing, you know, this is somebody who you can tell all your stuff. And so that was my introduction to really having a relationship with God and spirituality. So that was the first thing. But outside of that, I started to write. Writing became an escape. It was my way of expressing, my way of encouraging. I began to motivate other people, you know, inspirational words here and there. So I kind of went outside of myself in writing and speaking, and that helped me to push through the feelings that I was dealing with, even though I was still dealing with those feelings. It was such an oxymoron. So I'm dealing with them, but I'm encouraging you and helping you to get out.
Isn't that crazy how it works?
Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I look at it now, and I'm like, I don't know how in the world, you know, I was able and have been able to speak and do the things I do, even when I'm hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. So when would you say the abuse stopped?
It stopped when I ran away.
Like, legit ran away? Or?
No.
Okay, okay.
I decided I was leaving Dover.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'm getting away. I'm tired of this. And so I escaped. I went to college, and I ended up going to Spelman in Atlanta.
Wow. Congrats.
Yeah, so I completely just went way somewhere else. And that was my way of separating myself from the past.
Yeah.
And trying not to deal with that again. Now, when I got to college, I dealt with, you know, some level of physical abuse. It kind of switched. Mm-hmm. Because you know, I was trying to get attention, and that's a whole other story. But as far as the sexual abuse, that stopped.
Nice. So would you say that that was like almost your gateway or doorway to find some sense of peace or healing as far as like your childhood went?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It was definitely a transformation. I remember the day, Selman has this thing, I think it's called parent send-off or something like that. And basically you separate from your parent, you know, and it symbolizes you going into your new start, that sort of thing. And I think while everyone else thought about it, you know, I'm leaving my family, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That was the day that I separated myself from what had happened. And from what I used to be, and from some of that hurt and some of that pain, and that was my way of having a fresh start.
And how did you feel? I'm over here imagining it, and almost like I'm envisioning like a weight lifted off your shoulder, like you transformed internally. So how explain that feeling to me?
Oh gosh, when I tell you, I cried like a little baby.
Yes.
Because, you know, people were probably like, well, oh my gosh, like, why is she crying like that? But what they didn't understand is this wasn't just a physical turnoff. Like, mm-hmm. this was me saying to God, to myself, this is my chance to be who you created me to be.
Mm.
This is my chance to live beyond my pain.
Wow.
And even now, I'm like, I get emotional because that was an opportunity for me to be more than what life had given me so far.
Yes. Yes. I'm pretty sure it was like one of those hard cries that it's like, yes, like I'm doing this. I'm putting that behind me.
Oh, ugly cry.
Yeah. Nice.
Not in all.
So you went to Spelman. You have published a book or many books. You also do fitness. And of course, you're inspiring and motivating people daily. How did you manage to take on all that trauma and come out on top?
My first response would be only God.
Nice.
Because in my finite mind, I cannot fathom how I took all that hurt and craziness and turned it into what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my humanness, I would see that I would be speaking out of hurt, speaking out of pain, you know, and bitterness and all of that. But, you know, when I write and when I speak, there's such a power and such a, I don't even know the word. It's just so much beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I said it's only God. But that I'm not speaking out of all the other stuff that happened. But it's such a blessing to me mm-hmm. to be able to encourage and to speak to others and to motivate and to see them smiling and to see them getting that they're better than. And, you know, just being able to push somebody else, it does my heart so good.
Yeah.
And that, you know, helps me daily to continue healing because it's a continual process.
Yes.
There are triggers, you know, there's things that come up and it almost wants to make me revert back to where I was, but it's a daily process to say, no, I'm beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to encourage and push and love on other people is, that's my heart. That's my passion because yes. it builds me too.
Yes. So question for you. So during like you speaking and motivating others, is there ever a moment where you were afraid to speak up or to even speak about what you have been through?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
when I first started this journey, you know, Grace, through the writing, the speaking, the book, I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I was ashamed of me, thinking that I had done something wrong, that it was my fault, you know, that all these things happened to me. And so in my mind, I'm like, what if I talk about these things and people malign me, they talk about me, they, you know, bully me, whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole lot of what if, you know. And even when I've messed up in life, because I've made plenty of mistakes since, you know, being an adult, the thought was, okay, what if I tell somebody what I did? Are they going to hate me?
Hmm.
Like, am I going to no longer be enough? You know, so those thoughts come up. They still do.
Yeah.
To be honest. That's, they do. But I determined that it's worth more to me to see somebody else free than for me to be sitting in shame and doubt about what has gone on in my life.
Yeah. Another question. I'm sorry. I'm like just inspired by the conversation itself. So being with that said, what did you feel like you needed to do on a daily basis to pick yourself up daily while these thoughts were coming in?
Daily, definitely prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just a reminder, like, for a long time, I had on my mirror, you know, that cliche thing, those positive thoughts, those positive affirmations.
Yes.
I literally had scriptures. I literally had stuff written on sticky notes on my mirror. Just, you are enough. You're bigger than this. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Just different things to remind myself of who I am and who I'm supposed to be.
Hmm.
And so, you know, when I had hard moments, being able to go straight to them and look at it and say, okay, this is a moment. We all have them. But let's get past this.
Yes. That's important because it could be hard. Like when you feel like life has literally fallen on top of you. And for you to have the strength to even pull yourself up, like that's just a whole nother level. Mindset, everything, faith, God, everything. So you're also a mom. And as a mom, can you see how the experiences you had affects the way you parent or intend to parent? Because your daughter is 6 months, right?
She will be 6 months this upcoming week, so yes.
Oh, nice. Almost there.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I have seen how it's affected me. And I don't tell many people this because, you know, there's different triggers when it comes to children.
Of course.
But for a long time, I actually did not want children.
Mm.
And that was because, well, for one, I didn't know that I would be a good mother, just because of my experiences. And two, I didn't want to see them have to deal with anything that I dealt with. And so it was almost like, you know what, it's better just to not have kids and we won't even have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So for a time, that was that. And I had some issues conceiving. Like I was diagnosed with PCOS. My husband and I were married 10 years before we conceived. Just some different issues there.
Wow.
But when I found out that I was pregnant, so many emotions went through me. Just the gamut. You know, everybody else was like, aren't you happy and aren't you this? And I'm like, y'all just don't know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
No, I'm pregnant. But with her, especially when I found out she was a girl, I want to say that all the memories came back.
Mm.
And that was a hard, hard moment because I said, okay, I have a little girl.
Yeah.
And I remember what I dealt with. And I know the trauma. I know that, you know, because of what she has as a girl, you know, there's opportunities for her to be hurt. I mean, of course, with the boy too. But just I know because
yeah.
I was a girl.
Yeah.
So with her, and I've noticed it, and I'm working on it. I'm very vigilant. I'm very observant of who is around her and who interacts with her. Even with my husband, and I had to apologize to him, I was very watchful
mm-hmm.
because I remember that it was somebody who I loved and respected who hurt me.
Mm.
And so I watched him. Not me even thinking that, you know, he would really do anything, but it was kind of just intrinsic. Let me watch him too because you never know. You know, and so I had to apologize to him for that because that's not fair to him when he hasn't shown me anything to the contrary. But on a positive note, it's also made me more aware of how I want to raise her. So with me, I was never really taught it's okay to say no or, you know, when something makes you uncomfortable, speak up. You know, and love your body,
mm-hmm.
protect your body. This, so with her, I've already determined how I'm going to build her up.
Yes.
So that she is comfortable with saying no. She is comfortable not having to hug everybody and, you know, have her boundaries crossed. Like, yes. She is comfortable in who she is. And so I'm definitely going to be more intentional.
Yes.
About her. And her being comfortable in who she is. And I think that's a big thing, especially with our young women.
Yes, most definitely. I definitely agree with that. I feel like we weren't taught that, you know, growing up, like, you know, I don't know. I just don't feel like some of those conversations were had, you know, about your boundaries and what you feel okay with and, you know, it was always like forbidden, like nobody really wanted to talk about these things. So I mm-hmm. definitely agree.
And this is the extreme mm-hmm. because I've seen this so many times and I don't judge anybody for how they, you know, choose to raise their children. But I know I've seen many times, go hug them, go do this.
Yes, and yes.
Children are being children, you know, sometimes they're just being themselves. But if they're really, really uncomfortable and you're forcing them to go to this uncle or that, you know, that creates a, I don't know the word.
Like an opening. Like
can't say no. Yes.
Yeah, like you're letting it be okay with giving, having someone in your space even though you're feeling uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Wow. I never even thought of that. That, yeah.
And I'm like, I agree, you should speak. You should be cordial.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can do a handshake. I mean, I agree that no child should be disrespectful.
Yes.
But I also believe we should definitely have boundaries.
I agree.
For our children, you know, and teach them that it's okay when you're uncomfortable to say you're uncomfortable.
Yes. Most definitely. So, if there was someone maybe either going through or in a moment or probably having the same or similar journey to you, but they don't really know how to either handle it or talk about it, or what would you leave for them to say, or what would you say to them to help them through their story?
The first thing I would say is what you're dealing with today is not always.
Mm.
And when I was dealing with, you know, the abuse and everything else, I just thought that was my life. Like, this was it. I was always going to be hurt. I was always going to distrust everybody. I was always going to feel ashamed. Like, I just was just, you know, depressed and down.
Mm-hmm.
This is how my life is going to be. But that's not the case. So this is happening, but there is tomorrow. I know the Bible talks about, you know, joy coming in the morning, and it really is that sort of thing. But we have to be open and willing to engage that and embrace that.
Exactly.
So it starts with us accepting that there has to be more than this moment. And the next thing I would definitely want that person to know is that you are valued beyond what you could even imagine.
Yes.
Your value is just phenomenal. And anyone who is not, you know, helping you feel valued, anybody who's not pushing you up and engaging you, then maybe you need to find some different people.
Yep.
Because God created each of us so unique and so necessary for this earth. And we can't get stuck in thinking that we're not enough, because we're all definitely created for a purpose.
Yeah.
So you're valued, you're necessary, you're beautiful, you're handsome, you know, you are phenomenal.
Yes.
So definitely know that and understand that, and know that this hurt, this pain, everything that you're dealing with, it only will push you into greater, to push you into who you're supposed to be. But, again, the caveat, and I had to learn this, is that we have to allow it.
Mm.
You know, nothing can happen unless we are open to being healed.
Yes.
Unless we're open to it being better. Because if you're just determined to stay there, nothing's going to change.
Yep. Wow. Thank you. And my last question for you is, if you had one phrase to encapsulate the person you are because of your journey and your survival, what would it be?
Man, one phrase. I could probably go on forever, but the one thing that I say often, and that I also have on my blog for Grace, is life happens, flow with it. And when I say that, it's exactly what it is. Life happens. Things happen beyond our control. Things we don't like. Things that don't feel good. But we have to learn how to flow even beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even with still water, it's stagnant. It doesn't do anything.
Mm.
So in our lives, we have to learn how to flow. We have to learn how to be fluid and move past and work with and just be more.
Yeah.
And that's easier said than done. It really is. But it's one day at a time, one step at a time, one second at a time sometimes, and you flow.
Yes. So you mentioned having a blog. Do you mind sharing with our listeners? where they can read more?
Sure. I should have a blog at gracewaters.wordpress.com. So Grace, GRACEWATERS.wordpress.com. I also speak, so I definitely, maybe you'll see me around somewhere, speaking somewhere, and I'm open to doing that as well. And I'm also on Facebook, so if you look up author Grace Waters, you can find me there, as well as my website where you can purchase my book, which is www.simplygracewaters.com.
Nice. I will definitely make sure to leave those in the show notes so that people can read and get to know more about you. And thank you so much for your time and also sharing your journey with us today. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And if any way I can touch somebody else and help them, you know, along their healing journey, that's what I'm here for. That's who God created me to be.
Amen.
And that's why I went through some things, I think, so that I could be a beacon of hope.
Wow. That's not crazy. I need to stop saying that. And it's not a coincidence that you say that, because it's dope. I use that word a lot, but it's super dope that you said that, because I've been saying, like, just as of lately, that and coming to the realization that our lives are not for ourselves, you know, they're for others. As far as regardless of, you know, what we do, we are a testimony to then, you know, help the next person or serve the next person in any way we possibly can. So that's cool that you said that. Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's been such a blessing even for me to be able to talk to you. So,
yes, I'm glad you could talk about it for sure. Thank you so much for tuning in to Mommy Matters, The Wind Down. If you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Mommy Matters with an extra S. Follow us on Instagram at _MommyMatters. And don't forget to download our Mommy Matters community app, available in the Apple App Store and in the Google Play Store.